Thank you, Rob. Just a little promotion, commercial advertising. You would benefit if you're able to get here a few minutes before the service, start time 10:30, just because today we heard a beautiful song that was very worshipful that the worship team played and sang, and as I listened to it, my heart was moved. So that's just a little plug, you know, future weeks. If you tend to come in a little late, it's not judgment. I'm just saying you might want to get here early to anticipate the work of God through some of the, now they don't sing every week. Sometimes it's just the playlist we play, but you never know. You want to come and be blessed. Paul is encouraging the Corinthians in this passage, 2 Corinthians, his second letter to them, to make good on a promise they'd made to help the impoverished mother church, the church from which the gospel had spread originally, from the church at Jerusalem. Paul's encouraging them, finish the work you started. And he says, you know, you were not only the first to give, but you're the first that had the desire to do so. Pierce has adopted a church in a school in Nzige, Rwanda, an impoverished part of the world with minimal resources compared to all that we know and have. And the generosity of Pierce has allowed many families to have food and clothing and education for their children through child sponsorships there. In addition, the church and school there have been constructed through the generous support of the church here at Pierce. Even though we really don't know most of the people personally, and only a few from here have actually been there, similar to the church at Corinth helping the church at Jerusalem, where they really didn't know the people. They just knew there was a need and were urged and encouraged by Paul to supply that need. On top of what's been done this coming year, the goal is for Nzige to build a new classroom and accompanying items that are needed to help them teach the children there in order to meet requirements of the state, of the government in Rwanda. And so this year, Nzige is going to be the focus of Pierce's Advent conspiracy. So after Thanksgiving, we enter the season of Advent and we join in what's called the Advent conspiracy, a conspiracy to kind of move away from the materialistic aspects of Christmas and come back to the sense of the generosity and compassion of what Christmas means. And so this year, we're going to celebrate the fifth anniversary of Linked with Love by partnering with Nzige in the Advent conspiracy. Last February, before I had come on board at Pierce, before COVID began, gifts were sent from Pierce to children in the Nzige school by their sponsors. But by the time they arrived, COVID had hit here and there as well, so they couldn't gather together to distribute the gifts. But just the last month or so, they were able to regather and share the gifts with the children. And so the director of International Child Care Ministries in Rwanda was present with this opportunity to share those gifts and recorded it for us. So he sent us a video of the children receiving their gifts. And I would like to just take a moment to share that with you now.
Yeah.
Amen. We celebrate that. Some of the pictures were taken before COVID, and I was able to find those on the some of the from the website that we share with them, that they share with us. So don't fear, they've been wearing their masks. But God is good, and he's working through the school there, even as they face some of the same trials we do here across the sea. Well, God is a God of justice. He sets things right. He has the power, the authority, the will to do this. But he wants to use his people in bringing justice to the world. He wants to use us. God cares for the unfortunate and desires to amend their situation to meet their needs. And the word unfortunate is a term that is used to describe the condition of people in a difficult situation for which there is no quick fix and no easy answer, and something that they're not able to do themselves. They can't help themselves out of it. They're really at the mercy of others. But you know that we all fall into the category of unfortunate. We are in trouble and not able to help ourselves out of it. I'm not speaking about COVID here. We're separated from God because of sin, every single one of us in this unfortunate situation. God is holy, and there's nothing we can do to close the gap between our sinful human condition and his divine holiness. He is pure, we are flawed. He is righteous, we are marred. He is perfect, and we are fallen. Now, some might think, well, we can turn this around. We're not so bad. We can get right with God. We can be like a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout that tries to earn merit badges and win God's approval. But, of course, this is not possible. Isaiah 64:6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away, kind of like the wind today. I was driving here this morning, and someone had piled their leaves on the east side of Whittier Road, and the wind gusted, and all the leaves went across the road to their neighbors as I drove by. And I just smiled. I thought, oh, those neighbors aren't going to be happy. But that's kind of what we're like with our sins. We're just swept away by our sin. I once had some dirt on my face, unbeknownst to me, which Jean lovingly pointed out to me. We do that for each other, you know? Not wanting to look unclean or displease my beloved by my appearance, I picked up my napkin and wiped off my face. What I didn't realize that was on my napkin, there was a blob of ketchup. And as I wiped the smudge off, I was inadvertently distributing a much larger and nastier smear onto my handsome face. How do I look now? Even worse. When we try to clean up our own act, our own sin, we're simply contributing more to the problem of sin. Now, another mistake people make sometimes, you know, as they've realized that they're a child of God, he's forgiven their sin, but is to think that somehow their attempts at goodness now obligate God to them in some way or entitle them to some special treatment from God. I've heard people actually say things like this, and I probably have, maybe you have as well, like, okay, God's not answering my prayer, and yet I'm doing all these good things. And so we say, God, why don't you change my situation or make things better after all the good things I've done? Kind of like our relationship is transactional. In the musical, The Sound of Music, when Maria and Captain Von Trapp finally realize their love for each other, they sing, somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. Yes, something good, right? There's this idea that there's the karma is kind of a common thing people speak about today. People believing the blessing they now experience comes because they deserve it. But what do we really deserve? And for that, I want to look at a few scripture passages, and we'll bring those up on the screen. The first is Isaiah 53:6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. Now, I don't know if this verse rhymes in the Hebrew language, but it has a ring to it in English. It describes, though, a willful departure from the shepherd's love and care. Out of pride and self-interest, we've chosen a direction other than the one that has been set out for us by God, which he made in our very best interest. We decide our way is better in spite of the consequences. God had said, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for you will surely die." And we respond, "But, oh, it looks so good and tasty, Lord. Why, God, would you deny my desire that wells up within me when I see this beautiful fruit?" Humanity has proven since Eden that selfish pride triumphs over trust and submission. Let's go to the next verse, Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We cannot come close to or arrive at God's glory. We can't realize or achieve salvation. We fall short of it because of sin. It's like an arrow falling short of the target. No matter how hard we try, salvation and the glory of God cannot be earned by hard work, personal effort, or good deeds. And then we run smack dab into a wall of consequences over this condition that we're in, this sinfulness. It's in Romans 6:23, and it's, "For the wages of sin is death." I meant to have Alicia play on the piano, dun, 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 something like that, just to capture the drama of those words and the traumatic effect of them when you think about it. The wages of sin is death. Reflecting what God had told Adam and Eve in the garden. "For when you eat of it, you will surely die. When you disobey me, when you sin, the broken relationship between us and God leads to death. God is a God of justice. He will not let sin go unpunished." But like so many things that God does, he acts justly in a way we do not expect, and we often fail to understand. In his justice, he cannot ignore our sin, but he offers something so much better: grace to forgive our sin. Let's go back to those three verses I shared and read the full verse in their context. The first is Isaiah 53:6, the rhyming verse in English. "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." But read the rest of it with me out loud. "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We're justified freely. Now, if you take the letters I-F-I-E-D, ified, and put it with any other word, it means that thing has happened. So if you are watching your computer screen and you want to enlarge the word so you can see it better, you take ified and add it to magnified, you enlarge the words. If you have a bad water system in your home and you bring in a new water system, you have it now so that it's purified, made pure. And here we're talking about the justice of God. And he says right here, he justified, made us just, made us right, put us in a right standing with him by his grace. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because God loved the world so much, he laid the burden of our sin's consequences on the shoulders of his only begotten Son. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But let's not stop there. Let's read the rest of this. "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." That's amazing how God has brought such grace to us. And here's the thing. God expects those who've experienced his amazing grace to become a conduit of his grace to others, to turn that around, to be amazed ourselves at the wonder of his generous love for me. We sang a few moments ago, "Two wonders I confess, my worth and my unworthiness." Like, we're really unworthy. That's the wonder, is that he sees worth in us to be able to do this for us, that he gives us this amazing grace, but he doesn't want it to stop there. He wants that grace to be poured out through us on the world around us. That's part of God's justice to the world. And that's where 2 Corinthians 8 comes in. The basis for sharing generously is in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Here is a perfect description of God's justice as seen in the merciful sending of his Son. We were impoverished. We were broken. We were needy. We were marred, oppressed by sin. We are all truly unfortunate. We cannot help ourselves. But by his grace, Jesus steps out of the heavenly realm. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he steps out of heaven onto the earthly stage of history. The first time, as a tiny baby wrapped in strips of cloth and laid in a manger that we'll celebrate in just a few weeks. He gave up the authority, the glory, the majesty, and the power of heaven to become one of us. But he wasn't just one of us that had all the perks and fame and majesty and glory and resources of an earthly ruler. Jesus wasn't born into a royal family with all of its privileges, attendants, and people vying for his attention. Joseph and Mary aren't like the British royal family, and Jesus wasn't born in Buckingham Palace. Jesus wasn't even born into an average middle-class family of his day. In fact, there was no one to give him attention at all, except a few animals in a stable, perhaps. He was born into a Galilean family, and one of his own disciples said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth, which is in Galilee?" He had no resume, no cachet, limited resources, under an oppressive government, without a comfortable place to lay his sweet head, as a way in a manger says. Why? Verse 9 tells us, "For your sakes, he became poor." For your sakes, insert your name there, for Todd's sake, he became poor. He gave all that up to come for me and for you. Here is the prime example of extreme generosity in God's most incredible and loving act of mercy and justice. He sent his only begotten Son into the world in poverty, a chosen state of being for him. His self-limiting act of humility, his humble submission to death on a cross, even though sinless. Why? So that we, through his poverty, might become rich. I'm not talking about material wealth, but we might become rich in these ways. We're saved, restored, justified, made right before God our Father and Creator because he chose to make it possible. God's justice for our sin was realized in the death of Jesus, who gave himself for us. And then he rose victorious over sin and death, putting the final end to the consequences of sin, death itself, so we are rich indeed. The justice of God is to be generous in mercy and loving kindness toward the unfortunate who cannot help themselves. All of us. All of humanity. As believers, as Christ followers, as those who've experienced this grace for ourselves and realized the generous outpouring of the mercy of God in our lives, he calls us to do the same. God expects those who have the means to help others to do so. So in Luke 12, after the parable of the rich man who was so prosperous, so blessed, so full of the goodness and blessings of God in terms of financial wealth, he decided to build bigger and better barns so that he could live a life of ease and eat, drink, and be merry, as he said in his own words. But on that very night, he died, and his life was over. Jesus tries to encourage us out of this story not to worry about holding tightly on to our possessions and to learn to be generous with these words. Verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." He gave us the kingdom. It's a free gift. Sell your possessions and give to the poor because you've received this wonderful kingdom. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out because you have this wonderful kingdom. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys, because you have this wonderful kingdom. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is our treasure in this kingdom of God, in this generous, loving, merciful grace of Almighty God who poured out his generosity to us on the cross? The riches of God's kingdom mean that we need not be preoccupied with the riches of this world. We can be generous. We can share. We can help enact the just mercy of God through the way we care for and love and interact with one another and the world around us. We can express the generous love of God through our actions. This is the call to the church at Corinth in a specific situation. They were to help another church that was struggling, that was impoverished. That church had helped them by sharing the gospel with them, and maybe one day the Corinthians would need that church's help in return, but now was the time for them to help them. Their giving, Paul said, was not to create distress for the Corinthians, but really to relieve the distress of others. And in so doing, create a more just and fair world. God wants to use us in this way today. Paul writes, the goal is equality, as it is written. The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. And this quote of Paul's to the church at Corinth came from the Old Testament story of God providing manna in the wilderness to the people of God. It was a miraculous provision to the Israelites, where no one was left out. And now Paul uses this story to encourage us to justly provide for others in our world with the result that no one will have too little or be left out, and no one will have too much. Generosity is much more than financial. We are called to be generous in many ways, in compassion, in forgiveness, in turning the other cheek, in yielding to the needs of others rather than standing up for our own rights, in showing humility and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all the generous, gracious acts of God that can come out through us when we surrender and submit ourselves to Him. And yes, there are financial aspects to generosity as well. I heard on the news that due to the pandemic, some governmental leaders are canceling Thanksgiving. I just laugh. Maybe they can cancel Thanksgiving, but they can never stop us from giving thanks. And the best way to give thanks is to share with others the generous blessings that God has given to us, the abundance of His provision in all its forms. May we listen to God and learn how He wants us to be generous sharers of His abundant grace in our world today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word and this story of sharing, this invitation to share that was given to the Corinthians and that's given to us today, and how the basis, the foundation, the roots of this go back to Your abundant sharing with us in sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, who, though He was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, so that we, through His poverty, might become rich. Lord, help us sense, even in hard times, how rich we are, how blessed we are, how full we are with the mercy of God, the redemption of God, and the blessings of life. And Lord, help us not worry about what we may lose because of a pandemic or what we may struggle with in the moment. Help us to have eyes to see what You want us to do in the world, to continue to share the generous grace of God with those around us. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.